guest speaker today. So Tiffany Maris is the founder of Via Love International, a ministry in Honduras. Okay. A ministry in Honduras. I can still remember Sean telling us that he went to church with with Tiffany, and he remembers that she sold her house and her car and all her worldly possessions to fund her trip to Honduras. And that was 11 years ago. So this is not a short-term missions trip that she took or a couple of years. She lives in Honduras now. This is her home and her life. And I had an opportunity about going on 2 years ago in August of 2024 to go to Honduras and spend some time with Tiffany. She was very gracious to actually allow me to stay in her home instead of me having to stay in a hotel. And from that, we had many wonderful conversations. But I saw firsthand all that Via Love is accomplishing, what the Lord is doing with this ministry, and how in Honduras and how many lives it is touching. She actually was able to bring about seven students last year in January 2025 to Denver, to the Denver area, with some of the adults traveling with them as well. And so I had an opportunity to go up to Denver and say hello to the people that I had met when I was in Honduras, which was truly a blessing. So would you please welcome Tiffany Maris to the podium.
Good morning, everybody. It's so good to be back here with you guys. I can't even remember the last time I was here, but I think it was like 3 or 4 years ago. So I'm really excited to have the opportunity today to share with you guys all that God has been doing in Honduras. When I look back over it to come and share, it's pretty overwhelming to see all of the things that he has done. I just kind of stand in awe at his faithfulness and his goodness. And whenever I get the chance to come and share with different people, it's just encouraging to me to look back and be like, look at all that God has done. Sometimes when we're in the day to day, it can feel just like, are we even doing anything? And then when you look back over it to tell somebody and you're like, this is all worth it. God is at work. Lives are being changed and transformed. And so I'm very thankful for the opportunity to share a little bit about that with you guys today. As Leon mentioned, I'm originally from Denver, Colorado, but I've been living in San Pedro Sula, Honduras since January of 2015. So just over 11 years, which seems crazy that it's been that long. And I started an organization called Via Love International, and we primarily focus on community transformation, focusing heavily on children and youth. And so I'm gonna share some testimonies from a few different of the kids that we work with today, and just share with you guys how God is fulfilling a promise that I heard him speak the very first time that I went to the community that I'm gonna share about today. We work in a few different communities, but today I'm gonna highlight a community in a town called Omoa. And we have a program in the middle of the city dump of Omoa. And all of the families that we work with live in the city dump. They have their houses built all around the perimeter of the dump. When people come down and they're like, you're like literally in the dump. And I was like, I told you. So when I say we're in the dump, I mean we're literally in the dump. So we're going to kind of focus on that particular community today, a promise that God spoke over that community, how he's fulfilling it, and sharing a few testimonies. But we have three steps to our strategy when we're trying to see transformation happen in a community. The first step we call filling their bellies. 90% of the time, that literally is giving them food every day. We have a daily feeding program where the kids can come. In Honduras, lunch is the big meal of the day. So we serve lunch, and it always has protein and veggies and all the things. We actually had to teach them how to eat meat because a lot of them had never eaten it before. So we serve them lunch. We fill their belly literally with food, but it's also another way of saying meeting basic needs. Sometimes it's medical brigades. Actually, the last 2 days, we had a medical brigade down there doing some medical consultations. We had some chiropractors down there cracking everybody's bones. And different things like that. Sometimes it's providing medication for people who are in desperate need of that. And sometimes it's even been building a house, which I'll talk about a little bit later. We've now been able to build 3 houses for families living in extreme poverty. So that's step one, is fill the belly. Step two is fill the heart. That's where we share with them about the love of Jesus. That's where we hug them and we show them love, and we create an environment where they feel welcome, where they feel wanted, where they can come and they can just receive love and fill their hearts with the love of God. And then step three is fill their minds. So we scholarship kids in private education. We have a trade school where we teach things like welding, acrylic nails, audiovisual production, trying to help them. Our goal is that when these kids are grown, they're gonna have many doors open to them. They're going to have a good education. They're going to be trained in a trade. They're going to know how to create a healthy family. They're going to be walking in the ways of the Lord, so that the biggest problem they're going to have is deciding which door to walk through. Wouldn't that be a great problem to have? And so these are families that are living in very extreme poverty, very desperate situations. When we first started working with these kids and we'd ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they would just look at me like, what do you mean? Be like, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you know? Because you ask a kid in America and they have all these answers of things you want to be. And they didn't understand the question, because people who live in such extreme poverty, they don't think about tomorrow. They only think about, how am I going to survive today? And so the concept of thinking about the future, that you could actually be something, was a foreign concept to them. And over time, we've seen that start to change. Now the kids have ideas about what they want to be. Some of them are really crazy ideas, but at least they're thinking about the future. And so it's been really incredible just to watch that transformation happen. But the first time I went to this dump community was in 2018. In Honduras, we have what's called Children's Day, which I think America should have Children's Day. It's like my favorite holiday in Honduras. It's every September 10th. And literally the whole day, you just celebrate the children that are around you. There's piñatas everywhere. There's candy everywhere. There's cake everywhere. So I was invited into this community to do a Children's Day event for the kids. And when I went, I went to a church in that community. The church was just a roof. It didn't have a floor, it didn't have walls, but the kids showed up that day. And in my experiences in Honduras, a lot of times you show up and the kids are always really excited, like, what are we gonna do? They're here for it. In this particular community, they were not quite excited to see me. I was like, hey, happy Children's Day! And they're just like, hey, what are you doing here? And so I kind of had this not so warm welcome. We're sitting in the middle of the dump. Every day they light the dump on fire. So it's smoke all the time. You don't know what toxic things you're breathing in. The roads are muddy and full of trash, full of dirt. You see all these houses made out of just scrap wood, scrap metal. And you could just tell that it was a place that didn't have a lot of hope. You could tell it was a place that this was like their last resort. They had no other option but to come and live as squatters, because they were squatters living without permission on this land, and kind of just completely without hope, without vision, and very skeptical of anybody who came in, because a lot of times politicians would go in every 4 years and give the kids a cookie and then take pictures of them and put them on websites, and people were very skeptical of people coming in. And so after that first day, as I was praying for the community after being there, I felt like God shared a verse out of the Bible that I'm going to share with you guys today. It's actually a whole passage, and it's found in Isaiah 61. So we're going to go ahead and read that. And I took this as a promise for this community that I had just stepped into for the very first time. And it says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance for our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair." Now you have to keep in mind that these people literally live in ashes. Right? They literally live in ashes, and here's God speaking that he's going to turn beauty from ashes. Instead of despair, they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Strangers will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. And you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations and their offspring among the peoples, and all who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. So upon stepping into the city dump, this is what God was saying, that this was going to be a place where people were going to desire to come, that this was going to become a place of beauty, that this was going to become a place where he pours out oil of joy, where he plants trees of oak of righteousness, where it's a place where he changes garments of despair for garments of praise. And I'm standing there in the dump with all of the smoke and all of these people not happy to be there. And I'm like, okay, I don't know how you're going to do it, but let's see what happens. So we started going there. It started off once a month. We would go and do activities with the kids. Then it turned into once a week. And then in 2021, we opened a feeding program there that is there every single day. And it has just kind of grown into what it is today, where we are now literally having people move into the community because they want to be part of what God is doing in that place. I have to tell people what it looked like before because it looks so different now. The people are no longer squatters on that land. In Honduras, there are squatter rights laws. And so the people, after 7 years, basically, if you're squatting on a land for 7 years and the owner doesn't kick you out, you can claim rights to it. And so as the 7-year mark hit, the people went to court. It was a very long, drawn-out court battle with lots of attempted corruption and lots of things, but the people won. They won the rights to their land. They now are starting to slowly, little by little, build their houses out of actual materials rather than materials that they found in the dump, because they don't live in fear that somebody's going to come in with a bulldozer and take away everything that they worked so hard to have. And we're seeing so much transformation happen. But I want to share a few specific testimonies with you. If you'll pull up that first picture for me. This is Doughty, D-A-U-R-Y, Doughty. Now, Doughty and his brother Anthony are a rare case. They actually live only with their father. Most kids in Honduras don't have the father in the home. Some of them don't even know who the father is. It's very common for men to have multiple families in Honduras. But in this case of Doughty, his mom abandoned him when he was very, very small, him and his brother. She left and never came back, and they were left to be raised by their dad. Now, when he first started coming to the feeding program, he wouldn't smile. He wouldn't play with the other kids. He wouldn't get up and run around. He was just a very depressed and sad little boy. And it took us a long time to kind of earn his trust and to help pull him out of that. Now, he's one of the smiliest kids we have. I told him for this picture, I was like, smile like you always do, but that's all he would give me. But normally he smiles really big. You can see all his silver teeth, and he doesn't stop smiling. And Doughty is almost like a part of me, because every time I'm there, he's like stuck to my side. He'll sit on my lap. When other kids get close, he's like, this is mine. He's very attached to us, very loving. We all hug him and kiss him on his cheeks and hug him. And Doughty and I have this thing where I say, Doughty, do you know? And he's like, yeah, I know. And I'm like, what do you know? That you love me. That's right. Do I love you a lot or a little? A lot. But he knows that he is no longer defined by who abandoned him. He's now defined by who claimed him. And who claimed him is Jesus. And the love of Jesus that's redeeming his life, that's giving him purpose, that's giving him a place where he knows that he's loved, where he knows that he's cared for, where he can get what he needs. And it's beautiful to watch just the transformation in him. Now, most of the time, we're like, Doughty, sit down. Stop running around. Stop playing. And we're like, man, how things have changed, right? But I'd much rather that problem than have a little boy who can't smile, who can't enjoy life. I'd much rather have this. And the next picture is his brother, Anthony. Now, Anthony obviously has a very similar story. He's older than Dowdy, but Anthony has a really natural leadership ability. And just to show you how much they feel like they are a part of Via Love, that they are a part of this, we were building a house for a family up on top of the mountain. And there's no road to get you up on top of the mountain. So when the hardware store would come and bring the bricks and bring the cinder blocks and bring the things, we all got to help carry them up the mountain. And it was a lot of hard work, and the whole community would get involved, and even the kids. The kids would put a cinder block on their back, they'd walk up the mountain, and we would pay them with soda and cookies, and they were very happy about that. So one day, they're hauling stuff up the mountain, and this boy walks by who's not part of our program, and he's like, "Is Tiffany paying you to do that? Because you guys should be making money if you're gonna be breaking your back." And Anthony says, "Look here, we are Via Love. We take care of each other. And we're building a house for Sister Glories, who cooks our food in the feeding program every single day, and she doesn't have a place to live. The least we can do is help get this stuff up the mountain so they can build the house." And he's like, "Come on, guys, let's go." And all the kids are like, "Yeah." And I was like, oh my gosh, who is this boy? But I didn't even have to tell him. But he feels like, this is, I am part of this. I belong to this when I'm receiving, and I belong to this when it's time to give and to sow into somebody else. And I love his way of thinking. I love the leadership that's coming out of Anthony's life, a boy who was abandoned, who has a dad, but is not super, the dad's out working all day, every day. So these boys have basically been raising themselves, but you can see how God is already transforming their lives. Anthony is one of our scholarshiped kids, so he's going to the private school. Hopefully Dowdy next year will be. He has to make good grades in the public school first, which has been a struggle for him. So as soon as he can show that he wants to study, we're hoping to scholarship him as well. But we're excited to see the future of these two boys. But this is a perfect example of what we see in Isaiah 61 about God taking off the garments of despair and putting on a garment of praise, right? And changing somebody's life, turning ashes into beauty. A life where they were abandoned, where they were forgotten, where they were in depression. And now they have a future. Now they have a place to belong. Now they're receiving love. It's a beautiful example. Then we have the next picture. This is Genesis. Genesis is also one of our best smilers. Very, very smiley. She's the perfect example of pouring out an oil of joy. Genesis has no reason at all to be smiling, yet you will never find her without a smile on her face. Genesis's dad, I'll start with her dad first. He got sick when she was very little. And since he got sick, he has been wheelchair bound. He's not able to communicate. He's basically just sits in a wheelchair on the porch all day, and then at night they wheel him in, put him in a bed, and that's his life. So she's never really known her dad in any other way. And then her mom is a prostitute. That's the way that her mom sees, is the only way that she can put food on the table. And Genesis has had to accompany her mom sometimes when she was younger. When her mom had to work, she had to be there. She's had to see all kinds of different things, experience all kinds of different things. And to this day, her mom does that kind of work. We tried to offer her a scholarship, and her mom's like, "I don't have time to worry about it." And we're like, "Well, you don't have to do anything. Just sign the paper and we'll do the rest." Genesis is now receiving a scholarship and going to the bilingual school. And she's with us every time our doors are open. She's the first one walking through them. And she's the one that we're like, "Help me lock up and then I'll walk you home because it's time to go," because she loves being there. But she's so joyful. When we have church, she's the one that's down in front dancing. When Leon came down, she sent some flags, and she's the one always down there waving her flag, dancing before the Lord, because she has this oil of joy poured out on her that she doesn't, where she came from and where she knows she's going, it doesn't make sense. But she knows that God is doing something different, something special in her life. And she made a comment to me one time. She said, "Via Love is the first place that I feel like I can be there because you guys want me and not because I'm an obligation." She's like, "In my house, I'm an obligation. At school, they have to teach me because I'm a student there." She's like, "But in Via Love, I feel like I'm there because I'm wanted." I was like, you are. Don't forget it. And it's just a beautiful representation of Christ. Like, he wants us. He paid whatever price was necessary to have us. And so the fact that Genesis has that place to go and the ability to fill that, that's exactly what we want for these kids. That's what we talk about when we say filling their hearts. The next picture is of a family, actually. So this is Jorge, his grandma, Estela, and his aunt, Dulma. So Jorge, his dad is in a similar situation as Genesis. He's disabled, he's in a wheelchair, and he lives hours away from Jorge. So Jorge's only seen his dad a handful of times in his life, and his dad's not able to do much to support him. And then about 5 years ago, Jorge's mom died. She got a sickness and within a couple of weeks had passed away. So Jorge's being raised by Estela, his grandma in the middle, who's in her 70s. Probably my favorite Honduran. She is so sweet. And she's just loves God so much and trusts God so much. And so they live together. And then Dulma, who's Estela's daughter, Jorge's aunt, also lives there with her daughter, Sophia. So there's four people in the home. So when Jorge had finished sixth grade, because in the community, the public school only goes to sixth grade. So usually after sixth grade, when you're about 12 or 13, the boys are sent off to work. And the girls find the man that's going to take care of him. That's typically how it works in these communities. So when Jorge finished sixth grade at the public school, Estela came to me and she said, I know that normally to be part of the welding classes, the boys have to be 15, but would you make an exception for Jorge? Because I really want to make sure that he has something that he can use to be successful in life, because he's not going to have me for forever, and I want to make sure that he can take care of himself. And so I said, okay, I'll let Jorge be part of the welding classes as long as you're willing to accept a scholarship for him so that he can go to the private school and further his education and finish middle school and high school. They, of course, accepted. They were very excited. So Jorge, every morning, will come to our welding shop. He'd have to stand on a cinder block to reach the machines because he was so small. But he's now one of our best welders. He knows how to put on roofs. He's built truck bed cages. He's built bookshelves. He's built these grills that the Hondurans use, these wood-burning oven grill things. He's built, I mean, you name it, all different kinds of planters, all kinds of welding. Jorge is like, he's our best welder that's come out of our welding program, and he loves it. So he goes to the welding shop in the morning, and then in the afternoon, he's going to the private school, where right now he has really good grades. He's getting academic excellence and just really taking advantage of the opportunities that he has. Aside from that, Jorge and his grandma, the house that they were living in, we noticed was kind of like falling over on top of them. It was just kind of made out of wood that was literally so rotten it was tearing like paper. And the house was just kind of leaning. And so we had a visitor from the States in town, and we were visiting families. And we were like, Estela, what's going on with your house? She was like, oh, I know. I can't even sleep at night because the house is just creaking and cracking. And at any moment, we feel like it can fall down on top of us. And then when it rains, which is pretty much every day in Honduras, then when it rains, everything gets wet because the roof has all these holes in it and our beds get wet. And she's like, every night, it's hard for us to sleep, but we just pray. And we know that God is going to provide a house for us. And so, you know, we pray with her. We move on. Well, when my friend that had come down got back to the States, and she said, I can't sleep in my house all nice and cozy knowing that Estela and Jorge are in that situation. What would it take to repair the house, you know? And so we talked to people, and they're like, there's no repairing this house. Like, you have to start completely over. So that generous friend gave the first chunk of the money to get started, and then we were able to raise the rest of the funds to build a house for Jorge and Estela. So when I went to Estela's house after finding out that we were going to be able to build a house for them, I was like, Estela, you have to leave this house today. It's not safe for you to be here anymore. You have to leave today. And she's like, okay, you're right. I know. I don't know what I'm going to do, but you're right. You're right. And just like completely stressed out, right? And I said, no, you have to leave today because we're tearing your house down and we're going to build you a new one. And she was like, just started crying and hugging us because she knew that God would be faithful. She said, I always knew God was going to give me a house one day. So they went and kind of spread out and lived with different people for the 6 weeks that it took us to build their house. She also didn't have a bathroom in her house. They would share an outhouse with some of the neighbors. She would have to walk up this little hill and in the, at night and in the rain. It was tricky for her. She's in her 70s, right? And so now her house has 2 bedrooms, has a bathroom with a shower and a sink. It has a kitchen sink. Like it's a nice house. And so the day after she moved out, we tear the house down. The storm comes through and an avocado tree literally landed where their house would have been. That would have completely, and it was at night. So they would have been in there trying to sleep. So we're like, God, your timing is perfect. So as we're finishing up the house, I'm like, Estella, it's time to tell us what color you want to paint your house because your house is almost done. It's almost time to paint. And she's like, I want pink on the inside and purple on the outside. And so Estella now has her very own Barbie dream house. And every night they're able to just sleep comfortably. Actually, Jorge told me after they had been in the new house for a week, I was like, hey, what? How's the new house? And he's like, it's really good, but there's one problem. I was like, what's the problem? He's like, now my grandma doesn't want to wake up and make me breakfast because she's so comfortable. And I was like, you make your own breakfast. You let her sleep. You know, so now he makes breakfast for everybody. But Estella always had that faith and always knew. But God came and he showed them that he's going to rebuild the ruins, right? Just like he promises in Isaiah 61, he's going to turn beauty out of ashes. He's going to rebuild the ruins. And so now Jorge, who is a boy that was left orphaned, being raised by his elderly grandma, living in a house that's falling down on top of him, now is a trained welder, is going to a private school, has a house that's not going anywhere that they don't have to pay anything for or pay anything to live in. But not only that, God gave me this crazy idea of like, what if for Via Love's 10-year anniversary, we take some of the kids from the dump community on a trip to the U.S.? And I'm like, do you know how hard it is to get a U.S. visa, especially for people in Honduras and especially for a kid in the dump? But I was like, sounds crazy enough to try, right? So we decide to apply for some U.S. visas. Honestly, I did not think that we were going to get them, but we did. They gave us visas, and Jorge was one of the kids. So now Jorge also has a 5-year U.S. visa, and he's now traveled to the United States 2 times. A boy from the dump in Honduras who was an orphan. And so I'm like, God, look at all these things you're doing. So as we're on the very first plane flying to Denver, Colorado, I said, Jorge, is this like a dream come true for you? You're going to the United States. And he was like, I didn't know how to dream this. But then he said, imagine if God is doing this in my life at 13, imagine what he's going to be doing in my life when I'm 30. And I was like, exactly. Don't stop thinking that way. This is exactly how we want these kids to start thinking, that God is the God of the impossible, that God is the God that answers even our craziest of prayers, that God is the God who provides our needs, even if it's not until we're in our 70s, but he is faithful and look at what he's done. And nobody can believe that this is what's happening in this community that we have. And this is just a few of the testimonies of all of the people whose lives are being transformed and being changed and how God is fulfilling the promise that he made that this would be a place that people desire to come. There's literally people moving to the community. Can my kid be part of the feeding program? We have a waiting list right now because we're out of space. We're out of, yeah, we're topped out. But that's how many people are wanting to come be a part of what God is doing because they see how lives are being transformed. When the kids were in Colorado with me, and then we took a separate trip a few months later to Texas. And in both of those states, we were around in different schools, different churches, and they had the opportunity to present their Honduran culture, but also to share their testimonies of who God has been in their lives and what he's done. And so they were speaking in front of youth groups, in front of children's church, in front of churches like this, in front of adults, and they're sharing their testimonies, and people would come up to them afterwards and say, you really inspired me with your story. And they were like, can you believe I'm an inspiration? And I was like, yes, because look at what God has done in your life. And so it's so incredible to see the amazing things that God is doing in this community. And one of my favorite things that is happening, you can show the next picture of Jorge too, just because it's my favorite. He's got cake all over his face at his welding graduation. But he's just, I know we're not supposed to have favorites, but he might be mine. Don't tell him. So I just love what God is doing in his life, and I love his attitude and his grandma also. But one of my favorite things that we're able to do with the kids now, because they have, people have been so generous with them. They've had incredible opportunities, and it's important to us that they don't just learn how to receive, but they also learn how to give, right? And so they live in a dump. Most of them still live in houses like the one I described before, the one we built. You know, you could think, what could they possibly have to give? But it's been so fun watching them learn that concept. We have a little fake store where the kids earn fake money by memorizing Bible verses, by getting good grades, by doing all these different things. We give them this fake money. And then every quarter we open a store where they can spend their fake money on candy and junk food and toys, trinket thingies. And so we told them, we're like, hey, Children's Day is coming up and we're going to do a Children's Day activity in another community. And you guys need to take toys to these kids. So as you're shopping in the store, you need to make sure that you spend part of your money on, it's fake money, remember, but you have to spend part of your money on a toy that you're going to give away to another kid. I didn't tell them like what they had to buy. Some of them are just like little bouncy balls. And sometimes it's like a big soccer ball, like depending on how much money they've earned. So I was expecting to get a bunch of bouncy balls, but no, these kids were very generous. They were picking out the best things and setting them aside. We went to the community on Children's Day, and I told them, I said, there's no cake for you at this party. You're going to serve this cake to the other kids. There's pinatas, but you're not to touch the candy. You're to lead the other kids in breaking the pinata and helping them to have a good time. You guys are going to come up with the games. You guys are going to come up with the way to tell them about Jesus. You guys are going to pray for them. You guys are in charge of the whole day. We're just going to be there to make sure everybody stays alive, basically. And so they put together this whole program where they have these songs and these dances, and they have these skits that they put on. They had these games that they played with the kids. When it came time for pinatas, it was cracking me up because one of my girls was like right there under the pinata when it busts. And she was like, I'm not touching the candy. Don't anybody accuse me of touching the candy. She was just like frozen because she didn't want to reach in and grab it. But they got to bless the other kids. They gave them cake and they got to give out the presents that they bought for them. And it was amazing just to watch them find joy in giving. And now it turned into something that we do on a regular basis. Now we have what we call our Imagine Kids Evangelism Team. And so we go out on the weekends to different communities and they reach other kids. They tell them about Jesus. They pray for them. They do their skits and their songs and their dramas. And they do the games with them. And now they've traveled all around Honduras doing these evangelistic events for other kids. And so just to watch how God has transformed these kids who didn't even want to receive me are now going and reaching other kids and learning how to give and not just receive. They're seeing their lives transformed. They're seeing God answer their prayers. And I just can't believe this gets to be my life. Like, I just get to every day watch what God does and watch how he changes lives. And so I just want to thank you guys for being part of it over the years with your generosity, with your faithful prayers. We have some big opportunities coming up. As I mentioned, we're out of space, but the community in the dump, every community has a community council, people who live in the community that they elect, like who is going to make decisions, basically like an elected HOA that kind of takes care of every community in Honduras. So the community council and the dump community, you know, they were like, this is so great what Via Love is doing. And I was like, yeah, but we want to do more. Like, we have this idea and this idea and this idea. So be praying with us that God will provide a space to do all of these things. And they're like, oh, that'd be incredible. And the community has a pretty big space right next door to the feeding program that belongs to the community. They don't use it for anything. It's just land that belongs to the community council. And they were like, we'll just give you this land. And they like gave us the land. And so they're like, well, the community council voted unanimously. They're like, but we have to have a community vote. Everybody has to come and everybody has to be in agreement. And so the whole community shows up and they're like, Tiffany has an idea and she needs this land. Who's in favor? And everybody's like, me. And they like gave us the land, which is amazing. So we have plans to start building the church. As I said, when the church first started, it was just a roof. Now it has some makeshift walls. It has a floor, but we don't fit in there anymore. So we want to build something that is bigger,
sturdier, and the feeding program. Right now, the feeding program and the church are one and the same, and we want them to be separate, to have more space, to do more things. And then we're going to build on our new land, this whole trade school. We want to have a preschool, a clinic, a computer lab. Most of these kids have never touched a computer. You know, we want to be able to start teaching them some things that will help them in life when it comes to technology. We have all of these ideas. And so if you guys will continue praying for us, that God will continue to provide, because we need about $350,000 to make that build happen. And we know that God's timing is perfect. We know that God has a way. He already knows how he's going to provide that, how he's going to bring it about. But if you guys could be praying with us about that. And then in the back, I'll be selling coffee and a few bracelets that I have left that the girls got together to make bracelets for me to sell. And I only have a handful left. But all of the proceeds from that is going towards our next group of students. We go back to the U.S. Embassy on June 15th, mark the date down to pray, to see if we can get some more visas to be able to bring another group of kids to come on a mission trip to the United States and testify of who God is and who Jesus has been in their lives. And that trip would take place in September if our visas are approved. So the stuff we're selling back there is going to help us with the embassy fees and hopefully the travel fees upon approval of our visas. But God is doing incredible things. Thank you for the opportunity to come and testify about all of that. And thank you for being part of it. If you have any other questions, I will be available after service.
Thank you, Tiffany. I didn't even know all that was going on in Honduras. So wonderful. We do want to take up an offering for Via Love today. If you just ask the Lord quickly, you know, what he's putting on your heart to give. There's so much going on, and it does require funds. And so we just want to bless Via Love, Tiffany, and Via Love International with that today. Remember, there are multiple ways to give. We have planters? Or maybe they're going to be passed out. Okay, they'll be passed out. We have planters that will be going around. You can put in cash. If you're giving cash, please raise your hand, and an usher can give you an envelope. You can give a check. You can give online as well. If you use the app, it would be under missions, I believe, that you would give. So we'll go ahead and do that now. You can come. Okay, they're passing out the planners.
Is Tiffany a wonderful singer? She asked, why isn't Tiffany singing? She must be a wonderful singer. We probably wanted something in Spanish. That would have been amazing. She could have sang us something in English and Spanish. Were you planning on closing it out? Okay, we'll just turn it over.
Thank you, Tiffany. That's what it looks like to disciple a nation. Yeah. And it says so much about who our God is, because he does for us many of the same things, well, all of the same things that you see happening through that ministry. He takes us where we are with whatever mess we come in, and we all come in some measure of mess, right? Whatever we don't know, all of our lack. And he accepts us and loves us and teaches us the things we need to know, helps us to be set free from the lies that we've believed. And he sets us up for a beautiful future. And if you have not yet made a decision to follow him, we want to give you that opportunity today. So if you can just reach out and just take the teeniest little bit of faith and believe that he is as good as the people who represent him in this ministry. Because he is. He is who makes people able to love like that and to give their lives like that. And if you can just believe that, just pray with me today, okay? Let's all close our eyes. Father, just repeat after me. I believe. Help me to totally believe, God, that you want to take me where I am. Set me free from the lies I believe, from the things I do that are wrong. God, I believe that you're the one who sent Jesus, and I receive what he has done for me. God, come and transform me, forgive me, and make me like you. Thank you, God. Amen.